are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So, you know, it happens, right? One spouse is on fire for God and the other is barely flickering. It's not always rebellion. Sometimes it's burnout. It could be trauma. It could be spiritual laziness. But how do you build intimacy when your spiritual growth feels mismatched, when one partner seems to be spiritually stronger than the other? What does that look like and what happens next? What is the next step that a couple needs to take in such a case? We have Dr. Emmanuel Mwale joining us once again to guide us through this conversation. My pastor, good morning. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you. Good morning.
All right, Pastor, let's get straight into it. We know this is the reality for many people. What emotional toll can a spiritual imbalance take on a marriage?
Yeah, a number of things can happen from the emotional point of view. For example, there's likely to be emotional distance where probably the person who is not as spiritual as the other may isolate themselves because they feel somehow judged, when actually there's no judgment, but just because they are low, they may feel isolated. And then usually there may be a disconnection between the two. In cases where the one who is spiritual has some doubts as to whether the other person can manage the home well, especially where children are involved, again, there may be distrust because somebody feels, if I'm not there, this person will not bring up my children well. Mm. There may also be some emotional fatigue. Doubts also may be there, and some resentment may also come. In certain cases, the situation may be traumatic, actually.
Okay. And how's that?
Sometimes somebody expects a lot from the other other partner. Mm-hmm. They are doing their best in terms of growing spiritually. Now, the person who is not growing spiritually may end up not really contributing to the relationship as much as the other one may be contributing, not in terms of materials or whatever, but generally the emotional part of it may actually be traumatic to the other person.
Okay, sure. And how can the stronger partner encourage without belittling, without nagging or being judgmental?
Yeah, without knowing exactly which one is stronger here, whether husband or wife, whichever the case may be, I think that Christ is the standard in terms of how we are supposed to relate. Let's look at Christ and his disciples. Mm-hmm. When you read the story in the Gospels, you discover that the disciples needed a lot to learn. Of course, we can't compare Christ to any person, but Christ was high up there spiritually. Mm-hmm. The disciples were low. So he did not belittle them. He did not nag. Mm. But what he did was he taught them slowly. He encouraged them to pray. At the time when he was going to the cross in Gethsemane, he found them sleeping. He simply said, "Are you sleeping? Pray. The flesh is weak. The spirit is willing." In other words, the one who is stronger, in quotes, of course, should humble themselves and understand that this is a spiritual journey, and so they have to do it slowly, patiently, with understanding, without appearing to be holier than the other person.
That's a big, and like you're saying, you said earlier about the fact that, and I think you mentioned this yesterday as well, the fact that sometimes the other person is just going to be sensitive in general, where even you say whatever you want to say with the best intentions, but the other person can easily take that as an attack, can easily take that as a personal jibe at them when that's not even what you intended. So I think that's a beautiful example when you look at the way Jesus did it, and just operating from a place of love instead of judgment, that can go a long way, even if the other person somehow still takes it that way. I think just that consistency and the way that you behave, even outside of your quote-unquote encouragement, right?
Yeah.
Now, what practical steps can both partners take to grow together without feeling pressure or without putting pressure on one another, without being a drag on the other one? Maybe I feel like, yo, my husband is so deep into this stuff. I am like tired of this stuff, so I don't know. I feel like if I try and work with him or grow with him, like I'm pulling him back in some way because I'm so far behind. How do we grow together when we're so mismatched spiritually?
The first thing is for the one who is stronger, again in quotes, to pray. On their own, they may pray in their private prayer. They need to pray for the other partner so that the Lord may give them wisdom with regards to how they are going to help each other in this prayer life. At the same time, I see some guidance, although it may not contextually it may not apply, but I see guidance in 1 Peter 3, verse 1 through 7, where in this case you have a woman who is being addressed. This woman has a husband who, in general, could be a Christian. Another one could may not be a Christian. So the encouragement there is that this woman who is a Christian should behave the way a woman is supposed to behave in marriage, so that the other partner will be converted as they see their conduct. So the stronger partner need to demonstrate that they are Christians. They need to have Christ-like character. They need to be patient with the other person. At the same time, they need also to read books like The Adventist Home, where there is encouragement for couples to work together. If they read, if the other party is willing that they read together, those areas that deal with the spiritual aspect of marriage, read those portions together, I think that can help. In terms of those that may not be Adventists, any Christian book that that talks about spiritual growth and it has prayer and Bible study can also be helpful in order to ensure that these people work together practically. And then also, the stronger one is expected to encourage the weaker to read on their own, especially with respect to the indispensability of prayer in our in their relationship. It's important also to give the other party time to read on their own, so that as they read, they'll be able to discover exactly why what they are missing out by not being as spiritual. Another thing that can be done is to discuss the issue of if the family is blessed with children, what impact would the prayer life, a prayerless life, have on the children? In case one dies, for example, and then the one who remains is the one who is not that spiritual, what would happen to the children? Such discussions would help to ensure that the two pray together. Issues of fidelity also, they depend on a prayer life. This partner is supposed to understand that if we don't live a prayer life, the devil may come in and issues of fidelity, I mean infidelity may arise if we don't pray for each other. I think that can help also to ensure that these people grow together.
Beautiful. And then how can couples also be spiritually united when they're not on the same level spiritually?
I think that the first thing in their relationship is to agree on the basics of their belief. If they agree on the basics, despite one being on a higher plane than the other one, they can still be united. I'll give you examples of ministers, for example. Mm-hmm. I do not think that all ministers, in case of Zambia, you only have males who are ministers. Yeah. There are a few who may be working maybe in universities who are females, but generally in Zambia, you have males. Elsewhere, we have females. Mm. I don't think that they are at the same level with their wives. I believe that most ministers are on a higher plane than their wives. Mm. But they still remain united and they work together as a team. Then the reason is because they agree on the basics of their belief. Mm-hmm. Number two, they need to agree on the basics of marriage. Mm-hmm. What is marriage? Yesterday, I referred to marriage being the image of God. Mm. I could add marriage was instituted for companionship. I could add marriage was instituted for joint stewardship. I could add marriage was instituted for sexual pleasure. I could add marriage was instituted for procreation. I could add marriage was instituted for child training. So if the two people agree on those aspects, they can still be united, they can still be together, despite one being on a higher plane than the other. Then communication also is important. If they have learned the basics of communication and they are able to communicate well, they can still remain united. Mm. Again, conflict resolution, they can be united. And then prayer and Bible study, even if the other person is on a higher plane, the other one is on a lower plane, they will still be united as long as they are praying together. Mm. Or they are praying for each other. And then most importantly, I believe that if they treat each other with grace, they will still be united.
Now, Pastor, is spiritual leadership gender specific or is it based more on maturity and gifting? You know, we refer to the husband as the priest of the home. Is that always the case? Can the wife sometimes be the priestess of the home because she's more mature spiritually?
I want to answer this question in two ways. I know that the context is the family, yeah. But there's a bigger family, the church.
Okay.
I want to begin with the church. In the church setting, spiritual leadership is not really gender sensitive, gender specific. I will explain why I say so. I know that this is a controversial subject in churches today,
sure.
But when you read the Bible, clearly, we believe in the priesthood of all believers. Mm-hmm. And so each person who has accepted Jesus as Lord and personal Savior is gifted with the spiritual gifts. Mm-hmm. And that's what is the most important thing. And then also the maturity aspect. You can have a male who they are just male, but they are not mature. Probably even their spirituality is not what can help the church. So my understanding from the church point of view and biblically is that spiritual leadership is not gender. It doesn't depend on gender, but it's based on maturity and gifting. When we come to the home, yes. You have Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through 33, that talks about the woman submitting and the husband loving.
Mm.
And the woman is equated to the church, and the husband equated to Christ there. But at the same time, I believe that we are living in a world of sin.
Mm-hmm.
What if the husband died?
Yeah.
Who would lead the home?
Yeah.
It's definitely the wife.
Right.
So the roles can interchange. I know that the husband is to be the priest, the wife is to be the teacher in the home,
mm-hmm.
but A wise husband will allow the wife to lead in prayers. He will allow the wife to be the priest, the priestess, because we live in this world where there's sin. I think when God put up the idea of the husband being the head of the wife, it was because of order that is supposed to prevail in the home.
Right.
And that leadership is servant leadership. Christ is a servant to the church. As much as the church submits to him, Christ serves the church. And leadership in the home is that of a servant leader, like Christ was a servant leader. That's the way it's supposed to be. So I believe that the roles can interchange mm-hmm. depending on circumstances, and a wise husband will allow that. But at the same time, I need to bring in a caution there. In situations where somebody wants to act like, we are liberated, we are equal. Yes, husband and wife are equal before the cross, but God put order there. So it's not the way the world teaches it that we are equal. It's equality in the Bible, equality that allows one person to lead out at a certain time. So it should not be the fighting for position,
yeah.
but it should just be for purposes of leadership that is Christ-like. So in a sense, yes, but generally my understanding of leadership is that it's based on giftedness and maturity.
Love that. Beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Pastor, for coming through and for another beautiful conversation. We continue tomorrow speaking about ways that we can nurture spiritual intimacy in our marriages and how we can grow together as families. Thank you so much for your time. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you too. Bye.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.